Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest, Eric Scheidler, who is a walking encyclopedia on the organization Planned Parenthood. I would actually bet that Eric knows more about Planned Parenthood than probably anybody that works for them, including their new CEO. And we'll get an update on things related to Planned Parenthood with Eric during this particular time. Eric, thanks so much for joining us again.
Glad to be with you.
All right. Now, first of all, I record these things, you know, a week and a half or whatever before they actually go on the air. So I understand that around this time, as I'm recording, Planned Parenthood is going to be losing some money that they've been counting on from the taxpayers because of President Trump's pro-life positions. Tell us about that.
That's right. I'm particularly gratified about this change in federal government policy, because the Pro-Life Action League and other pro-life activist groups around the country had a direct hand to play in achieving this this partial defunding of Planned Parenthood. What we're talking about here are funds that were set aside by Congress in the 70s through Title 10, is a program for family planning. That was initiated, I believe it was in the Nixon administration that these rules were first promulgated. And the understanding was that the purpose of these funds would be to provide planning, family planning for low-income families, and partly as a way to reduce abortion, and certainly not as a way to increase or promote abortion. During the Reagan administration, set of rules was devised that would prevent organizations like Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers from receiving these funds because of a conflict of interest. If they're supposed to be promoting family planning and the will of Congress and the purpose of these funds is not to promote abortion, then they can't also be promoting abortion, say giving women abortion counseling or providing abortion services or promoting abortion in any way. And the rule says that you have to have a separate facility. If you're going to do abortion and you're going to do family planning, you can't do those under the same roof as the same organization and be qualified for these funds. And this case was argued all the way up to the Supreme Court. But by the time that the Supreme Court finally upheld the rule change that would prevent abortion providers from getting any of this money, Bill Clinton had been elected, and so the rules were never implemented until now. For whatever reason, George W. Bush decided this wasn't a politically a viable thing for him to do. He was urged to by some pro-life leaders, but he decided not to do it. It was Donald Trump who came along finally and decided, I'm going to change the Title 10 rules, use the rules that were put forward by the Reagan administration so many years ago, and prevent Planned Parenthood from getting about $60 to possibly $80 million a year through Title 10. It should be noted this is their second largest source of federal funding. The lion's share, about $500 million a year, is coming through Medicaid. So we still have a lot of work on our hands to defund Planned Parenthood. But the part of the story that really excites me is that when Trump's advisors were initially presenting to him this plan, Kellyanne Conway in particular was instrumental in presenting to President Trump in the Oval Office this plan for stripping some of Planned Parenthood's funding and satisfying that campaign promise that he made to defund Planned Parenthood. The fact that we were out there on the street protesting the very next day, the day after that meeting, was extremely powerful in persuading the president about this. And I received a really delightful message from Marjorie Dannenfelser from the Susan B. Anthony list that's worked very closely with the Trump administration on pro-life policy, just overwhelmed with appreciation that we were holding these defund Planned Parenthood protests in hundreds of locations right as this policy was first being proposed to the president. And so the fact that people who had voted for Trump, people who are pro-life, you know, regular folks were going out to abortion facilities, going out to Planned Parenthood to say, let's defund them of this money. That was one of the reasons that the Trump administration actually implemented these rules. So this is a really a wonderful victory for direct action, and something that should encourage all of us who are looking for ways to make a difference. If you go out there to your local abortion facility or go out in the public square to educate people, hold signs, pass out literature, whatever it is that you're doing, sidewalk counseling, that can make a real impact. And we saw that in evidence with this policy change.
And can you explain something for us that I think might be very helpful to understand? a lot of people look at Planned Parenthood and they think, well, you know, abortion is only one part of what they do. Can you put that in perspective? For example, does a Planned Parenthood often encourage their clients to, let's say, consider adoption as opposed to having abortion? How is it that Planned Parenthood really promotes abortion? And that's where a lot of the money goes to.
Well, first, we have to realize that the purpose of the Title X funds was not to provide abortion facilities with a way of getting new customers. It's against the purpose of this money, why Title X was enacted in the first place. So regardless of how much abortion Planned Parenthood does or doesn't do, the fact that they would be counseling for abortion, promoting abortion, providing abortion, is a contradiction of the spirit and intent of the Title X funding. But to the question of what Planned Parenthood's actual role in abortion is, they like to downplay. It's funny because they actually do both, and we're going to talk about the CEO change too, which is part of this story.
Sure, yeah.
They like to downplay their role in abortion, but at the same time, they also want to make it clear to their donors and supporters that abortion is really what they're all about. In fact, back in the 90s, there was a move by some higher-ups at Planned Parenthood to become simply a full-service medical provider, to provide care for common colds, for back pain, for psychological problems, addictions, and be like more of a kind of similar to your county health office, but a private company running on donations. They decided against that because the leadership of Planned Parenthood across the country really wanted to stay focused on abortion, and that's where they've been ever since. So they claim that abortion is only 3% of the services they provide. This is a statistic that even liberal sources like the Washington Post and Slate.com have called ridiculous. It's only through an accounting gimmick that Planned Parenthood could claim abortion is only 3%. If you go to Planned Parenthood for an abortion today, you're going to talk to somebody. They'll call that counseling. That's a service. You're going to have a pregnancy test. They're going to call that a service. They're going to give you maybe a bag of condoms or some pills, some birth control pills when you leave. That's a service. They're going to do an ultrasound so they can determine the age of the baby so they can charge you enough money because it's very important for them to get that money. Abortion is their number one source of clinic income. So they're going to provide you a whole range of 6-7 services. So even when the reason you went to Planned Parenthood today was to get an abortion, they're going to still say, oh, it was only 1/7 of the things you did. To me, that's kind of like claiming that when you go to a car dealership and you buy a package of Skittles from the vending machine and maybe you get an undercoat for your car, that the car was only, you know, 1/100 of the things you did. 98% of what you bought from the car dealership were Skittles in the packages of Skittles you got in the waiting room. I mean, it's the most cynical kind of accounting gimmick. But we can look at some other numbers that illuminate things a little more. 1 out of 7 women who go to Planned Parenthood in any given year will end up getting an abortion there that year. 1 out of 7 women who go to Planned Parenthood throughout the year will end up getting an abortion. Perhaps even more telling, 36% of all the abortions performed in the United States are performed by Planned Parenthood. And to put that in some perspective, other companies like let's say Southwest Airlines, the largest airline in the United States that provides the most flights, they don't even come close to 36%. Planned Parenthood is an industry leader amongst all companies and organizations in the United States in terms of the market share of its business that it controls. So Planned Parenthood, 36%, that's more than 1/3 of all abortions taking place in Planned Parenthood. And as I mentioned, it is their number one source of clinic income. It's also, along with contraception, the only area in which Planned Parenthood is growing. They're doing fewer and fewer manual breast exams, fewer and fewer, adoption referral, they barely do at all. They do almost no obstetrical care. They have one mammogram machine in one of their centers, one of their 600 health centers around the country.
Oh, that's...
So they claim they do mammograms.
That's new.
That is. That's a brand new thing. They used to do 0 mammograms. Now they do a handful.
Wow.
A tiny, tiny percentage. So in all these other categories, Planned Parenthood's number of services is going down. The number of women and men they're seeing every year is going down. But their share in the abortion industry is going up. That's the only place where Planned Parenthood is growing.
Huh. Going back to adoption, I don't remember the exact statistic, but it was something along the lines of for every 140, something like this, for every 140 situations that they do abortions, they'll do one adoption referral. So in other words, the vast majority of the women that are pregnant that go to Planned Parenthood will end up getting an abortion. And by the way, we only have 4 minutes, and we want to include the regime change at Planned Parenthood within the next 4 minutes.
It's very hard to find out even how many adoption referrals Planned Parenthood does, because sometimes they don't actually include that information in their annual reports. When they do, we're always really shocked at how very rare it is for Planned Parenthood to refer someone to abortion. But they like to keep that up on the marquee. They like to pretend that that they're providing a more comprehensive view when they really aren't.
Okay, so tell us about the change in the presidency. It sounds like the lady that is out now was, a decent human being.
She believes the propaganda. Lena Wen, and I had the privilege of protesting her at a fundraiser in Chicago.
I think you're the only person that would say something like that. I had the privilege of protesting that person.
Because I got to protest Cecile Richards in many different locations all around the country, and we had signs for her. We had a whole strategy for protesting Cecile Richards, and then they got a new president. And her first, my first opportunity to protest her was just back in May at a fundraiser in Chicago. She was a former Department of Health head in Baltimore, and she thought Planned Parenthood was actually interested in health care because this is the propaganda they've been promoting. And so that's what she was doing. She was putting the focus on, addiction, on maternal care. I mean, we have a maternal mortality crisis in the United States. And nobody really knows quite why our maternal mortality rates are so high. She was interested in these kinds of issues, and for that she got ousted. In fact, early on in her career, she had to tweet out that, oh yeah, abortion's still what we're all about, because she seemed to be pulling away from that to some extent. She's been ousted, and now she's been replaced by Alex McGill Johnson, who's one of the board members. She's now the acting CEO and president. We'll see if they keep her on or bring somebody else on, but she's made it clear that they're all about abortion. It's been really fascinating from the pro-life perspective to see Planned Parenthood kind of removing the mask and showing themselves to be all about abortion. And I think that goes to the pro-life movement. We've been so successful. We've been pounding away at this over the years that people finally are beginning to associate Planned Parenthood with abortion. We still have a lot of work to do, though, because they still get $500 million of our taxpayer dollars every year.
Now, how does that work in light of the Hyde Amendment?
Well, they're getting that money to provide other services. So women are going to Planned Parenthood for STD testing. They're going to Planned Parenthood for contraception. They're going to Planned Parenthood for pap smears and these kind of things, pap tests. When they are eligible for Medicaid, Planned Parenthood is able to bill the government. And in fact, they've been caught again and again in California, Illinois, and other states for defrauding the government, charging more than they were allowed to under the law. They're very careful to always settle those violations out of court, because once there's a court ruling against them, once they're actually found to have, officially defrauded the government rather than settling out of court, they're no longer eligible. So they settle those cases, but they've been defrauding the government. And we know that those funds help them to keep the lights on. That's one of the reasons they're going to boost those numbers and lie to the government about how much they deserve to be reimbursed. It keeps the doors open. It provides them, more importantly, provides them a stream of future clients. I mean, when Planned Parenthood can kind of swoop in and take some of that market of lower-income women and families and bring them into their centers, well, then they can get them used to coming to Planned Parenthood, provide them with abortion referral information, and eventually they become abortion clients, and they're paying for those abortions in most states, because you cannot use taxpayer funding for abortion federally and in most states.
Okay, we have 20 seconds to wrap up. Any last thing you want to say about Planned Parenthood? And what about these occasional situations where women die from so-called safe and legal abortions?
Big scandal has been St. Louis, where the last abortion facility is a Planned Parenthood that's refusing to let its doctors speak to state inspectors over several botched abortions, abortions that were incomplete, and women were sent home with fetal remains in their bodies and became sick. So Planned Parenthood is operating a shoddy business. They're not upholding basic health and safety standards, and they do everything in their power to keep the authorities from finding out about it and learning the truth.
Wow. Okay, Eric Scheidler, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us. ProLifeAction.org for more information.
Thanks for the opportunity. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.